I'm going to talk about always rejoice. You know, in life, we all face problems, and we face heartaches and disappointments. Let us go look at the Bible, and as we read, we'll see that God's people experience all kinds of things. They had problems, but they also had a reason to rejoice. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 3. That's one of the minor prophets over there, right close to just not too far before you have to get into the New Testament. All right, I'm watching and see people turn those directions. Some getting it on their phone, some getting it on their iPads, some getting it on a Bible, some getting it in both. I see my wife down there, she's getting it on both. She likes to harder there. Then she go when she get opens her phone. She goes to the different translations. That's why she opens the phone so she can read it from different translations. All right, everybody ready? The prophet here is saying, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. Hey, that's pretty bad right there. No figs, no fruit on the vines. Though the labor of the olive oil may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high heels. Now, it wasn't God bringing problems. We know that. It's the devil that brings problems. He comes to kill and to steal and destroy. Actually, he is the root behind all of the evil and bad things that's going on in the world. But he uses that to attack God's people with sorrow and problems and circumstances, all kinds of things. But here the prophet said, in all the things that we read there that were bad, they didn't know no food, no cattle in the stalls, so forth and so on. He said, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. See, it was his decision to rejoice. You ever notice that? He's saying here, although the circumstances are bad and there's no cause to rejoice, yet with God, there's still a cause to rejoice. You know, sometimes we get in situations and that's the only thing we can do is look to the Word of God and rejoice. Our joy is found in God, in the things of God, in the Word of God. Now, let's look at Israel for just a moment. Israel was God's people in the natural. We, born again Christians, are God's children in the spiritual realm. Here, they were in exile, and Zion, or Jerusalem, lay in waste. But God promised restoration and joy. Isaiah 51. Go to Isaiah 51. The prophet's writing here. While they were in exile, the prophet's writing. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and voice of melody. Now, that's in the New King James. Let's read it in the NLT. It gives a little better understanding. Yes, think about Abraham, your ancestor. and Sarah, who gave birth to your nation. See, it was through Isaac, Abraham and Sarah's son, that Jacob came, who became Israel, and then the 12 sons of Jacob became the 12 tribes of Israel. And so I'll give you a little background. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, look back, here it is. And he goes on to say, Abraham was only one man when I called him, but I blessed him and he became a great nation. The Lord will comfort Israel again and have pity on her ruins. Her desert will blossom like Eden, her barren wilderness like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found there. Songs of thanksgiving will fill the air. Now, according to Albert Barnes in his notes on the Bible, he said Judah here is represented as lying in waste. It is to be remembered that the time to which the prophet here refers is of the captivity and near its close. Of course, as they would have continued 70 years in so long a period, Judah would have become almost extinct and a wilderness. You see, they were in exile for 70 years. No one was there to. There was nothing there in Judah and Jerusalem to take care of anything. Anytime, have you ever watched in your neighborhood a house that nobody's taken care of, and you watch it just goes, as we say, goes to pot, you know, goes to nothing. That's a Texas saying, you know, and that's before the other thing that they use for that word, okay? I just now realized what I did, okay? I don't know what word you use. I don't know. Anymore, you have to be so careful. Words that used to mean one thing don't mean that anymore. All right? But here, God is reminding Israel that he raised Israel up to become a nation. And Israel became a nation through the miraculous conception of Isaac. And from there, God blessed and increased the Israelites until they become a mighty nation. What we need to realize is the same God that brought them forth from a miraculous beginning would also bring them back to a miraculous restoration of their homeland. You know, God promised a mighty restoration to Jerusalem, and there would be joy and gladness. Well, if you do any study, you'll find out that Zion is the type of the church. So we can see that this is a picture that God wants to do in our lives. He wants to restore us. You know, the church, you know, you're a part of the church that had a miraculous beginning. You were miraculously born again. The same God that provided salvation for you miraculously is the same God that wants to provide for you the same way today. Today, we can trust God to restore all of the things that have been messed up. Hello? Now, you may not be there, but I mean, I've messed up and you know, and things have got in a mess, but God was always there to help me out. Okay? How many of you have ever messed up? But God is always there to restore. Just like God worked mightily for Israel, God will work mightily for you today. He's already done that. How did he do it? Well, we were changed from sinners to the children of God. We were rejected by people, but now we're accepted by God. We had no reason to rejoice, but now we have every reason to rejoice. Through Christ, we can rejoice no matter what's happening around us. Now, as we're talking about joy, and of course rejoice is just part of joy. You just add on the prefix R-E, and you got rejoice. You get rejoice. Now go to John 16:24. Okay, I see most people there. John 16:24. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, "Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full." You see, Jesus is preparing them for him to go away and then for them to go to the Father in the name of Jesus. If they go to the Father in the name of Jesus, God himself, it's as if Jesus is asking for that to be done in their life. The Message Bible says it like this: "Ask in my name according to my will, and he will most certainly give it to you, that your joy will be a river overflowing its banks." I believe that some people don't have a level of joy in their life that they could have is because they don't take everything to God. They try to handle situations themselves. And they never go to God with a problem until it gets so bad that they say, "Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do." Go to God first. Go to God first. See, God is ready to answer if we'll ask him. He's not going to come down and do it for you. You've got to ask him, or you have got to go to him with the word, present the word, say, "All right, Heavenly Father, this is what you said in your word. This is what you said that I could have. This is what you said." It's sort of like, you know, you work at a job. They tell you that after you've worked there a certain length of time, that you have vacation. Well, they are not going to come down and tell you, "You need to go take a vacation." But you can go to them and say, "Listen, I have accrued this amount of vacation. I'm going to take so many days of vacation," and tell them when it is. You have to go and ask for what they have already said is yours. That's the way it is with God. He's already said this is yours, but you got to go and ask. Hello, ask the Father. See, we have every reason to rejoice, always. Because God is a prayer-answering God. Now, you know, as we look at all of this, we find, as I was looking at this, A.T. Robertson, he was a great minister, and he lived from 1863 to 1934. He authored The Word Pictures in the New Testament. And he said, "God is with us in whatever befalls us. It is God's will that we find joy in prayer in Christ Jesus in every condition of life." You know, God desires to work in our lives mightily. But are we letting him? We have to not limit him by not asking. We limit God to minister in our lives when we don't ask for what belongs to us. Come on, you there, you're going home. You're awful quiet. You see, you got to go and claim it. Claim what he said belongs to you. Now, I could say to William or to Vidar or Tad or Bill or Christian over there, I could say to any of them, hey guys, listen, there's some things that I want to give y'all. They're out there on the table. Just go pick out what you want and take it. Okay? It's going to stay there until they go out there and do something about it. Am I right or wrong? That's the way the promises of God are. We can't joy in the promises of God until we go and say, okay, Father, you said this in the name of Jesus. I thank you now for this coming to pass in my life. And then some say, well, I don't see it. Hey, just rejoice anyway because it's happening. See, that's where your faith comes in. And I don't have time to go that direction, so I'll just stop right there. Okay. Say this with me. God desires to work in my life, and I can rejoice. We have every reason to rejoice. Now, as we begin to look at this, we can't talk about rejoicing or being joyful without going to Paul's writings. Philippians 4:4. Some of you already ahead of me. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Always. What's always mean? All the time. Not just part of the time. Not just when everything is going good. It's easy to rejoice when everything's going good. Right? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. That means in the good times, in the bad times, and in the between times. All the time. Now, the voice says it like this. Most of all, friends, always rejoice in the Lord. I never tire of saying it, rejoice. The J.B. Phillips New Testament says, delight yourself in God. Yes, find your joy in him at all times. You know, you have to realize that when Paul wrote this, he is lying in a prison. Actually, more like a dungeon type than just a prison. We think of a prison, but when they talk about prison here, it's like a dungeon. It's not anything close to what we've seen. You know, maybe he's thinking here, I know what I'm talking about because I'm in a tough situation, but I'm rejoicing in the Lord anyway. Hello. Rejoice. And then one part, he says, and again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Joy is one of the greatest characteristics of the Christian. The world cannot understand it. Although when we lose a loved one, I lost both my mom and dad, some of my cousins that I grew up with, more like brothers and sisters than cousins, because dad was, he only pastored those four churches, and when he wasn't pastoring, he was out traveling in the traveling ministry, and me and my sister would stay at my Aunt Olita's, that's his sister, and she had five kids, and so we all just grew up together. And you know, there is a sadness, but on the other hand, Christians rejoice at the same time. And the world can't understand this because for them, it's the end. For us, it's just, hey, see you later. Hello. You see, but the world can't understand that because they don't have the joy of the Lord on the inside of us. We have the joy of the Lord. See, our joy is independent of things on this earth because its source is from the redemption that Christ bought at Calvary. Joy has nothing to do with material things. It has nothing to do with circumstances and situations. It has to do with us rejoicing because we know God. Christians should be the most happiest people there is. You know, I don't know about you, but actually, if you'll think about it, you'll know them. Some of the unhappiest people around, they're living in the lap of luxury. But some of the most joyful people you're going to meet have a lot of lack. Some of them living even close to poverty. Some people that are in the lap of luxury, they use drugs and alcohol to give them some sort of joy. Come on, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. Go study it. If any of you have taken psychology courses, this is something they teach that's taught in some of the psychology. Hello. Anybody here ever had any, you ever heard of that? Yeah. In my degree plan, I got 22 hours of psychology. And I quit. I didn't take any more. You know why? Because if you know a little bit about psychology, you can start reading people a little bit by some of their actions and what they say and so forth. And I see some people shaking their head. And I realized that was beginning to bother me because if the Spirit of God was trying to tell me something about somebody, now I'm trying to figure out whether this is God or whether I'm doing this from what I've studied. So I quit studying it. I hadn't looked at it in years and years. I used to look at different periodicals that would come out and writings. I haven't in years and years and years and years. I'd gone back after I got out of the Army, got married. I'd gone back, was going to college, and I was taking an abnormal psych class. And I never did even finish that class. I quit. That would have been 1966, I think, 67, somewhere in there. 68, okay, 68. Because, you know, but you see, our joy is not based on outward stuff. The unhappiest people, some people that have a life of ease, are the gloomiest and most unhappy people you're going to find, discontented, And yet some people that have afflictions are joyful. Come on now. I'm not saying that poverty and affliction, that you should be in that. All I'm trying to say is that having joy has nothing to do with materials, possessions, and circumstances and situations of life. Joy, real joy, comes with a relationship with Christ Jesus, the joy of the Lord. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, I was just thinking here for just a moment. It just flashed through me. I didn't even have it written down here. What is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Joy. Then that tells us that we should be bearing that fruit all the time. Hello? You know, when you say to somebody, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice always, you always got those wet blankets around. Now listen, we need to be realistic here. It's not possible to be joyful all the time. You know, many people, their joy is based on emotion. Something happens that's neat and nice, and you get joyful. Somebody gives you something, you get joyful. That's an emotional joy. And, you know, what? I don't know how many years ago now it was. I had my 50th year in the ministry, and y'all got together and y'all gave me a car. How many of you remember that? I was joyful because of what y'all had done for me. That's based on a material thing that somebody did for me. That's an emotional deal. But on the other hand, you can be joyful because of the fact that I was joyful also from the other side of it, for the fact that you felt like honoring me because of ministering to you. You see, that's a completely different joy than the emotional joy of receiving the car. How many, you understand what I'm trying to say to you? I don't know whether I'm explaining this like I want to or not, but I'm trying, okay? In fact, too many Christians are led by their emotions. Have you, now I don't know about some of y'all might not, but I grew up Pentecostal. And people would come to the, we had altars, and anybody, and they would come down, maybe three people came down for salvation, and they're praying at the altar. Anybody ever seen that happen? And one person was showing a lot of emotion, crying and so forth, and somebody said, yeah, three people got saved tonight, but one really got saved. Anybody ever heard that? Oh, I got some hands here. How can two people get saved but one really get saved? What's, come on. But you see, they were going on what they saw, and it caused an emotional motion in them to say, oh man, they're really getting it. Look at that. Come on. You know, Many, many Christians are led by their emotions rather than being led by what the Word of God says. I'll leave it to that and go on. I can see that's not going over good. You ever met a person one day, and man, they are happy as everything. Woo, you know. You see them the next day, and they can barely drag themselves across the threshold to the door. You see, that kind of person, their joy is based on their emotions, how they feel. You know, people have came down and they prayed and they had an emotional experience while they prayed. So, oh, God really heard me. Well, that's not biblical. God said he hears us when we pray, no matter whether we show any kind of emotion at all. Come on. We must remember that in Christ, we rejoice all the time. Christ has not changed, so therefore you can rejoice. What Christ did at Calvary hadn't changed, therefore you can rejoice. The Word of God has not changed, therefore you can rejoice. The promises of God are still the same, therefore you can rejoice. The Spirit of God that lives inside of you is the same, therefore you can rejoice. Material things only bring joy for a season, but God brings joy all the time. Continually look for the source of your joy from God, the Word, and the Spirit of God within. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. There's a missionary, I'm going to get finished with this little story. A medical missionary many, many years ago was serving in the region of, and there, as he was serving, the people in his, where he was at, they would be born with perfect eyesight, but as they grew, their eyesight would go as they reached adulthood. The missionary developed a treatment that stopped the problem. He was probably a medical missionary. They would come to him, he would perform the treatment, and they would realize that their sight had been saved. But he said, no one ever said thank you, because the word thank you was not in their dialect. Instead, they spoke a word that said, I will tell your name. Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary that cured their blindness. We need, everywhere we go, we need to tell the name of the Lord by rejoicing. Psalms 101 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. You know, you may need to just, you don't feel like it, but just shout. Rejoice. No matter what is going on, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Heavenly Father, just try to stir up these people's pure minds tonight and their spirits, that we are to live a life of joy and happiness and rejoice in you at all times. Thank you, Father, that that is a real reality and we can live in it through what Christ did for us on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Everybody stand, please. I hope you got something out of what I had to say tonight. But actually, some people need to rejoice more, and they find out they wouldn't have as many problems as they do. Hello? If you happen to be in this place tonight, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we want you to know Him before you leave. If you're here and you need to rededicate your life to God, and you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, you know what it is to walk with God, but you've walked off and you need to come back and rededicate yourself to the Lord. Or if you need prayer for any reason, for anything, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to pray with you for anything, the ladies are here, the men are over here. As we're dismissed, if you'll come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, go find our first-time guest. We want you to have a special gift we have for you. And if you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on and join us. We're so glad to have you tonight. Hey, 10 o'clock Sunday morning right here, 9 o'clock, the School of the Bible.